Blessed is the way in which thou shalt walk today, for a place of rest is prepared for thee. We have come from far and near this evening, journey to this holy place to offer our prayers and condolences and encouragement to the family and to each other, because the loss, the passing of our brother, the falling asleep, is our brother. So all of us in one way or another have been touched by him. That's why we are here. Those four reasons are able to be here, whether in travel, I'm sure we are praying tonight also for our brother Tony. In 1973, I was assigned to this holy church, St. George family, to serve. And by the grace of God, me and my wife have been blessed and encouraged and taught. And let me say, slowly being built up by the faithful men and women of this holy church. No doubt about that. I was in the old church, small office, and I need papers, something for the office. And one day, I went to Joe Heider's restaurant, just to have a cup of coffee. It wasn't a daily going to the restaurant over there. It was a great walk. And Betty was there and others were there. So I had a cup of coffee, and Betty had that, said, "What are you doing?" You know, with her way of speaking. I said, "Betty, I want to go and find something for my office. I need paper supplies." She said, "Why didn't you go? There's an office here. Tony Nassau, this is just around here." It's okay. So she gave me the direction. I went to the office to buy something for the church so I could do my work. Well, I knocked on the door, and surely Tony was sitting, stood up, and I introduced myself. He knew who I was. And I said, "I need some papers, I need other things for pencils and whatever for the office." He said, "Don't worry, whatever you want." Then what I saw, laying on his desk, is the Bible. That struck me, there and then. And I said, "What are you reading?" He said, "I'm reading from the Bible." I did not know that he was involved in the Businessman Christian Fellowship, where they used to meet once a week for Bible studies. And this is nothing in you, but for us, the created Orthodox, something in you. And so I said, "What are you reading?" And he was reading from the Beatitude, from the book of Matthew. "Blessed are the pure spirit." So when Jesus took the apostles and the people and the crowd went to hear him, he blessed them. He gave that beatitude. So it is from the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." As he was reading it, he joined me in reading. So I joined with him reading the scripture. One thing led to another through the conversation. And it passes time and years, and in due time, Subdeacon Anthony, or Tony, was ordained subdeacon by the late Archbishop Michael Shaheen at St. John. But in due time, Subdeacon Phoney was praying at St. George. And one day he came to the office and said, "Father, I want to ask you a question." "Okay. What is your question?" He said, "Father, I know we attend the liturgy. Sometimes I feel that the liturgy is boring, is stagnant, is dead. I can take it two ways. I could be offended from someone who asked such a question like this, or I could be a positive in my reaction, try to find out why he's saying these words." That was a stunning question, but I was not upset at all. The man is reading scripture. He wanted to know why. I said, "Tony, everything we have in the church is from the Holy Scripture and from the Holy Traditions. Nothing outside that. But he wants me to point out, in time I will." So he said, "Okay." Well, it passes years, year and a half or so. Because of this challenge of a faithful young man, want an answer, and nothing wrong to be asked questions. And we should not put people down for asking questions. We should appreciate their curiosity and their endeavors. That question challenged my life. That's why I'm standing here. It took me a year and a half to search scripture on the divine liturgy, and surely the whole liturgy is based on Holy Scripture, where I have 800 verses in a book called the Bible in the Liturgy. That is the book came because of a question from this soul. And I printed this book many times over. As a result of this challenge, I was inspired to write another book on the liturgy, Journey Through the Divine Liturgy. And from that challenge to other challenge, till today, Tony is with me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
He is with me, and he, I would say, the person that challenged me and put me to test and gave me a new vision, a new dreams. I could have them just like my brothers, and I could be satisfied in my ministry, and I was successful, I think, to a certain extent in my work. But I didn't have to go to that extreme of depth of scripture and study and find myself where I am today. As a result, 8 books were written from this question. So I'm indebted to the soul of Tony. Few years back, we went to visit my son in California, son of Siddharth Seer. My 2 children were born here. And we were in Burbank, and we're talking about life. And he said, "Yeah, Father, I'm my children. From Cedar Rapids, Vegas, Burbank, I don't know, but I am on a journey of life." Tony devoted himself to do lots of good deeds. And some know, some don't know, but God knows that's enough. In the obituary, if you read it and you have read it, you will see his activities and his involvement, especially in the human traffic, which is great sin that has not been addressed and taken care. As we talked about journey of life, he said, "You know, we are on a journey." I said, "All of us on a journey. And our journey someday is going to end up somewhere. None of us live forever on this earth." So there and then, began to say, well, I want to be with Tony. And came to my mind a couple of verses from Philip Williamson, who wrote, "When a Loved One Dies." He's the hospital chaplain in Wayusa, Wisconsin. I think there's somebody from Wisconsin here. I don't know. Or their relatives from here in Wisconsin, somebody. I heard the word Wisconsin during my visit here. Quote, he said, "Indeed, God is with us on our journey, offering comfort and strength to the bereaved, unshakable love and doubted spring, and wavering promise that those who love Christ on their journey will be safe, and those who continue on their journey through such faith will experience such comfort as not to lose sight of who Jesus is and why he came to this world." Unquote. St. John the Latter, who lived at the monastery of St. Catherine in Mount Sinai, wrote something like that. Quote, "As thought comes before speech, so remembrance of death and sin comes before weeping and mourning. It is therefore appropriate to deal now with this theme. To be reminded of death each day is to die each day. To die each day. To remember one's departure from life is to provoke tears by the hour." During the past 2 weeks, you have shed tears, and you have shown tears, tears of love and tears of sorrow of your beloved brother and friend. As we witness these moments, we are indeed encountering death, and each one of us should be immersed in the contemplation of his own departure, provoking in us the thought of the reality of life. The more we think of this moment in our lives, the more we begin to appreciate those around us, appreciate the gift of life moment by moment. Not by hours, moment by moment. The problem with our humanity, that we desire not to contemplate on our own at all, but month by month passes by, years passes by, why, well, we think that our final day would not come. And there are people who believe that. And yet, when it approaches, we are struck by our own unpreparedness to face it. And those who face it, while they are alive, they are better equipped to deal with it. Realizing the fact that no matter how much we think, we are prepared. And Tony constantly reading scripture, trying to do something to leave behind. Not in the material it treasures. The church allows us to encourage us to prepare ourselves at every divine liturgy. We die with Christ and rise with Christ. We hear the reminder of his death and the reason of his ultimately glorious resurrection. For he taught us and he led us and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me Though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So this is just a body. No matter what I'm going to say, it's not going to affect his salvation. Period. Whatever I say, whatever Father say, whatever we read in Scripture, is to affect our own salvation at this moment. And so, as I contemplated on the life of Tony and talking with Tony, I asked him the question. My wife was sitting next to me. I asked him about his health. He said, I'm fine. He won't elaborate. But he loved to eat. Anything to eat. Devour this and this and this and that. Just enjoyed it. But he said, I want to build a treasure in heaven. So as we read in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. Nobody gonna steal. The judgment is God who judge. And we pray to God that the souls of our beloved ones rest in the bosom of the Creator, God Himself. Whether your mom, your dad, your sister, your cousin, your friend, people who don't know, there's God's people, irregardless. And yet, we have an obligation. And Tony felt he has nothing else but the Bible. The Bible. I can confess to you as a priest, I have been in many homes. Thanks be to God, now people are start reading Scripture and open their Bibles. Father Gordon Walker, he just passed away. He's a former Baptist minister. He said, when he came to Oklahoma City to talk to us, he said, we the Baptists love to read and underline. But you, the Orthodox, like to kiss, but you don't underline. I said, there's a compromise. Now, he said, I kiss and underline. Yeah. And that's exactly, if you look, I don't know who has the Bible of Tony, or Bibles, I don't know, but if you look at it, there will be colors and could be pencils pointing out certain point of reference to something that moved him. The whole Bible is perfect in itself. But people have moved to with this verse or this story or this parable. So I say this, that his treasure was his companion, not a wife. His companion was a wife. And that's a reward in itself. Because some of us in this world have the Bible just collecting dust. Parents don't read in front of their children to learn. And so it's a problem. But thanks God that I was encountered to see Tony reading the Scripture. I was not terrified because he's going to Christian men Bible fellowship. In fact, I was so jealous in a way that he was really into it. Really. So he challenged my mind and still in his death challenged my mind. So I'm grateful for that. To the family and to all of us, I say from St. John 14, 1, a comforting words. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me.
In my father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Maybe. Maybe depends not on God. Depends on us, on me. Living, maybe. I will follow him or I'm not. But he made that promise. And so that's comforting for you and for me if we believe in the Lord Jesus. Finally, as we conclude this journey of life, our brother, I was looking in the obituary and I saw scripture passage concludes from 2 Timothy 4, 6, 8. For I am already at the point of being sacrificed. Saint Paul writes to his friend, his child, Timothy. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appeal. He loved God, you love God, but through such an experience tonight, I hope you love God more. Allow God to magnify himself in us, to mend our ways to be closer to him, because on our journey, we are passing moment by moment, and we do not know the time. But to you, to all who believe in the Creator, in God himself, there will be hope of resurrection and reunion. I want to express on behalf of my wife and children, and on behalf of His Grace Bishop Anthony Michael, I spoke to him a couple weeks ago, and then last week, and I told him I'm coming for his funeral. He extended his condolences to all of you. And to my brother, Father Fred, I want to thank you for your love to the church and to the ministry you're doing in this holy church. And let me say, as I said before, people like Tony and others in this holy church have planted not only one seed, planted a garden with many colors in my life, that is my family. And because of you, the people of Cedar Rapids, I found myself where I am in life. I am indebted. And this is time to say thank you, but the same, it's a time to be with our beloved Tony on his final journey. May his soul rest in peace among the saints with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And may his memory and the memory of your loved one be eternal. Amen.